Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and back by much popular demand, my special guest tonight is Ellen Sheffy. A lot of people enjoyed not only Ellen's story, but what and where that story has brought her to. And so we're going to talk with her a lot today about anything she would like to share. But I want to share with everyone that we are delighted to have you with us this evening. This show is all about listener participation. We would love to hear your questions and comments during the show. The number to call, if it's in the States, is 530-327-7602. Again, 530-327-7602. Worldwide, toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. Again, worldwide is 1-888-815-9756. So what we would like to invite callers to do today is definitely call in, because Ellen would like to have you participate with her in regards to what she's going to be sharing with you today. And that's information regarding the grid, your grid system, what it's like, etc. So if you want information on your personal grid and how it works, etc., you can definitely call in and partner with Ellen and myself on that. That leads me to just touch on quickly that Ellen Sheffy is, amongst many things and many titles that she holds, a licensed acupuncturist, a massage therapist. She uses herbs and essential oils. She works with reconnective healing, among many other sacred gifts, and beyond that, even. So, Ellen, with no further ado, can you please just, if it's possible, in a nutshell, share with callers and listeners who are here for the first time in regards to you, a brief description of your history and what brought you to this moment.
Thank you very much, Cynthia, for having me this evening, and good evening to all the listeners. Well, what I would like to talk about tonight is, let me tell you about me, I'm sorry.
So, that's okay.
Okay, well, I've been doing some type of healing work for the last 33 years. I started with my undergraduate degree in nutrition and dietetics, and was very much into biochemistry, nutritional research, and from there turned into a registered dietitian and became a head dietitian of a hospital and worked in nutrition in various settings, in hospital settings and private clinics for 10 years. Along the way, I also taught piano for about 8 years during that time span. And then I decided in 1985 to go back to school and do my master's degree in acupuncture and oriental medicine. So actually I went to the naturopathic school for a couple years, switched into acupuncture, and have now been a licensed acupuncturist for the last 20 years, a licensed massage therapist for, 22 years, and along the way worked in various settings with herbs, essential oils, a lot of teaching, etc. So that's me in a nutshell.
Wonderful.
So what I would like to speak to everyone about tonight, and especially I hear I have lots of questions from my patients, about the grid system, or what goes on in the unseen world around our bodies. And as we all know, that we are not just made up of our physical being. We're actually a larger grid system of an extension that we usually don't look at, and it's called either our grid system or our aura or our luminous body, whatever name you want to call it. And it's set up really like a grid system where it leaves our body, well, it's part of our body and extends out, and there's different layers. And what I specifically would like to talk about is what happens in those layers in that unseen world that affects who we are and our health and well-being. So what I'd like to do right now is to invite our guest audience to do a little exercise with me. Mm-hmm. And the exercise is this. I'd like everyone to think of something that's really, really pleasant in their life. It could be something that really happened. It could be in your mind's eye something pleasant. But just hold on to that for a minute or two. And while you're thinking about that, just get a sense of your body. What's happening? How's your breathing? How does your body feel? And let's just hold that for a couple more seconds. And then I'd like everyone to come back to a neutral space. Now this time I'd like everyone to think about something that was unpleasant in their life or uncomfortable situation. Again, think about how you're feeling, how's your breathing, what is your body doing. Really take inventory from the top of your head down to your little toes, how you're feeling. And just hold that in your body and in your mind. Now let go of that and come back again to think about something that's very pleasant. Again, taking inventory. Take note of your breathing, how you feel, and then come back to a neutral space. And actually, I would like to get some audience feedback on this. So anyone who would like to start calling in, we'd really appreciate
it. Let me go ahead
that.
At this point and give them the numbers one more time.
Okay.
In the States, it's 530-327-7602. And toll-free worldwide is 888-815-9756. And again, if you'd like the opportunity to have a dialogue with Ellen in regards to your own grid system and what's going on, this is a perfect opportunity to do so. So let's continue in regards to what happens when maybe you can explain what happens when something gets stuck in the grid and how to clear it, etc.
Okay. Well, usually, first, let's just go back to the little exercise, and hopefully we'll get some feedback. But usually when we're thinking of something pleasant, our bodies take on a more open, expansive being. Our breathing's easier, et cetera. When we're thinking about something that's not so pleasant, depending on where it's affecting the system, it could be our breathing, our stomach, et cetera, the body starts contracting and feeling actually ill, and the posture changes. So we'll have people call in and talk a little bit more about that. Now, the question is, what is it that changes our physiology so drastically just by thinking about something? And here's the trick, is that it's what our grid system is doing. It's what is in our grid system. So let me clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about something that's unpleasant, and your body's reacting, whether you're having a physical or a mental or an emotional reaction, it means that there is something stuck in your grid system that has not been cleared. In other words, there is a dysfunction or disconnect or confusion in your grid system that's causing those kind of reactions. Because how could it possibly be that in, 2 seconds you're fine and you think about something and then you're really not okay? And your body's being affected, and then you can think about something else, and you're okay again. Well, that's what is going on in the grid system. Now, there are different things can get stuck in the grid system. So it could be lower vibrations, lower energies. It could be a medicine that did not do well with your system. It could be situations, imprinting or signatures of people, places, or events in your past. It could be information from past lives. It can be genetic material that is being passed down that is electromagnetically encoded around the DNA that might be from your great-great-grandmother. So, and it might not be yours. We find most allergies are imprinted this way. For example, let me just give you a little brief example. Say if a person is feeling fine, has always eaten apples, are happy about eating apples, and one day they're eating an apple and they get a telephone call with some disheartening news, and the person has an apple in one hand and a piece of apple in their mouth and gets some bad news, maybe someone died or someone was in an accident, and their body reacts. What happens then, the apple sometimes will become a carrier for that kind of reaction. So say 3 days later you go to take an apple again to eat, and all of a sudden maybe your breathing is affected, or you don't feel well, you have a stomach ache. And what happens is that the apple becomes the carrier, it gets stuck in the grid. And in order to feel good about eating apples again, you need to release that. For example, I once had a patient, a seven-year-old boy, who came in, and his mom said, you know, he always ate pears, he was fine, he ate a pear, and he got really violently ill and stomach ache. And she said, I don't understand what's going on. Well, what had happened to him was when he was 5 years old, he was at his grandparents' house in Eugene, and they had a pear tree in the backyard. And he was told, you know, not to climb in the tree, and of course he did climb into the tree, and he fell. And so he felt bad about, first of all, disobeying his parents and grandparents and then hurting himself. Hence, pears in the future became the carrier, so he couldn't eat pears without feeling discomfort. And we find that over and over again, that it really is not your allergy. It might be someone, your grandparents' allergy. So maybe your great-grandmother was doing something, maybe was eating berries at the same time, got pricked by a blackberry bush or something, and had a bad reaction, and then genetically that gets sent down the line. So there's all different kinds of things in grid systems. Now, it can also be emotional. And in this case, I'm going to give you an extreme example. I have a patient who was abused by her mother when she was 4 years old, and the mother had locked her in a closet, etc. And I'm not going to go into the details. And when I was talking to her, I asked her, well, you know, what did you feel? And she said, injustice. She said, it was the first word. She said, I remember I was 4 years old and I thought injustice. And that's, you know, that's a pretty big word for a four-year-old. And consequently, this woman is in prison for an act that she did, but there was injustice and it's a big rigmarole in the court system. And so no matter what she did for appealing the case, there was injustice in her aura. So injustice was being done to her. She was holding that injustice signature. Consequently, now I had the opportunity of working with her in the prison, and we released the injustice from her aura, that signature from her aura, and now her appeals are going through and things are happening. So it's very, very powerful what we hold and what we attract. I see it a lot with people that have been abused in the background, especially women that have been abused. And so they carry a signature with them of the abuse. So let me give you an example. And that example would be, okay, Cynthia, so say we go to the Celestial restaurant and we order something healthy. Let's just say we're going to order a Caesar salad with some chicken on top. And that's the order you put into the Celestial restaurant. Now, I'm sure you and our listeners would expect, once they put their order into the restaurant, to get back what they ordered. So when the food comes on the plate, there it is, a hamburger with fries and a Coke. And then you're like, well, what happened? I just ordered the chicken sandwich, the chicken salad. And now I'm getting a hamburger. Okay, at this point, you have a choice. You can say to the waitress or waiter, okay, well, that's okay. It's already done, so I'm just going to take the hamburger, and that'll be fine. It looks good anyhow. like something that, you know, I could eat and I'll be fine with it. Though maybe it's not the healthiest thing for you. Or you can reorder and say, no, I want it done right now. Or you can, you know, leave the restaurant and never come back again, because when you order at that restaurant, you never get what you want. So say you do this over and over again. And I see this with women, especially that have been abused, that they'll say, oh, I, you know, really want this healthy, loving relationship. I want love in my life. But what they do is they keep hooking up with partners that they get abused. So, you know, it's like, well, why? Well, it's the same thing. It's like the moment that you go into the restaurant and when the hamburger comes back and you say, no, that's not what I ordered. I'm not going to, you know, continue this. I'm leaving the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Then you become aligned. And at that point, you can release the old signature and you won't have it anymore. You don't keep entertaining it. And sometimes you'll have, you know, challenges will come up and it'll come up again. And every time you say, no, that's not, you know, what I ordered. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have my salad with a chicken on top. Then you're giving a very strong message to the universe that that's what you're willing to accept. So I always ask my patients, well, what are you willing to accept in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say you want X, Y, and Z and you keep getting A, B, C and you don't do anything about it, then the universe is saying, oh, well, you know, that's fine. We'll just keep giving her ABC because she or he, you know, it seems fine. They're not taking any action.
Right.
So is this clear? Do you have questions about that?
It's fascinating. I think it's very clear, and I think that it really offers a different perspective in people's daily lives of how and why they might be feeling pushed, or they might be feeling like they are reacting to someone or something. And this tool, this huge universal tool that you just handed everyone who's participating, is an opportunity for people to question in a more expanded way why and possibly what it is that is causing their reaction, whether it's, again, an apple, food-based, or an emotion, etc. And I think that it's an amazing, wonderful tool that, again, all tools only become what they resonate as what they are when used by the individual, and then they see how that works in their lives. So I think that's fascinating, and it makes a lot of sense, and I think that what you just shared also can be applied to many people who are ill, that they can maybe look at their illness or whether it's an allergy, like you were saying, et cetera, and look at changing their contract with it and realigning to it in a different relationship altogether, and possibly state aloud or to themselves that this, in this present moment or all the way into the past, I clear my relationship with this. And I claim it differently now. And I think that that's amazing. Now, one of the things that leads me to what you're sharing is the contracts people make, why they get something different. How does this affect, you've addressed, and this is possibly the same issue, you've addressed what happens in this life as far as the present moment, how it's triggered, etc. But could that also be a past life issue as well, where the person's not even consciously aligned to or knowing when they seek it out what it is that caused the originating misalignment?
Right. Well, I actually work with that a lot, too. And definitely, mm-hmm. especially people can be in certain situations or meet with a certain person that you had a past life relationship with. It could be a wonderful relationship or a less than wonderful relationship. And at first there's that initial kind of meet and greet, like, oh, yeah, I know him or I know her. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, here's someone I feel totally, comfortable. And you hear that a lot with people. It's like, oh, yeah, first I met this person and I had this, you know, instant rapport. Well, that's because you did have a rapport in a past life. And then the situation may change for the not so good. It's always a learning experience. and mm-hmm. it gives you an opportunity. So all of these are a learning experience. When you have something in your grid, some imprinting in your grid system, it gives you an opportunity to grow. And these experiences come in and they're like, okay, well, here's another opportunity for you to look at it in a different way or do the same situation differently, you know, this mm-hmm. time around in your life. And, you know, it's real interesting about the contracts that we make. So whether the contracts from now or whether they're contracts from past lives, it's very important to understand what contracts are all about. And consequently, to if you're uncomfortable with the contract, to change the contract. And this is all energetic changing it. And when we're looking at it energetically, it can be changed on a physical level. It can be changed on a mental, an emotional, a spiritual level, a cosmic level. You can change family lineage and programming that way. And this is an exercise that works quite well. And I invite our audience and our guests in the audience to try this. So many times a person will say, well, you know, we'll go back to the idea, I keep getting that hamburger, though I want the salad. And the key is to align yourself. And so you actually make a different celestial contract, and you're very serious about it. You write down what you are willing to accept. So it's not like, well, I don't want abuse, and I don't want blah, blah, blah. What you say is, you know, I accept only respect and love in my life, loving relationships, prosperity, abundance, whatever it is. You accept it, you honor it, and you do it in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And after you write down your whole contract, I usually have people read it several times, anywhere between 5 and 10 times. And each time you read it, because in the beginning you're thinking, well, maybe I really don't believe that, it changes. And a lot of times people will cry while they're reading it, or they can hardly get the words out, or the voice changes, the breathing changes. And so by the 10th time that you're reading it, it really is powerful, and you're actually standing in those words and in that contract in a whole different way. And then you sign and date it just like you're doing any kind of contract that you would with a lawyer. It's very effective.
Wow, that's another amazing tool. And like I say to everyone, always, regardless of the exchange, you know, everything that's being shared on Awakening Matters is only if it resonates, make it your own. Never allow it to replace your own truth. However, if it's reflecting your own truth, or if there's a part of it that really makes sense to you, then it might be revealing to you that it's a tool that can return you to yourself, or a tool that, many tools that Ellen's already offered, that can help you to claim more of your belief system and get to know thyself better. That's an amazing tool, another one that you've shared. And I think that what I've seen through the years in working with Ellen and also watching the feedback that I get from clients in regards to seeing her, etc., it's a tremendous growth that's offered, and that does happen because what you offer is without fear, it's without ego, it's without attachment in a way that says you need to try this and you need to do it so in order for it to work. Now, it sounds like we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, and what's your name?
My name's Catherine, and I have a question for Ellen.
And, great.
Are you ready?
Yes. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Ellen. So here's my question. My question is, I'm a nurse, and we work with people who have terrible illnesses and disabilities, and particularly people with cancer can descend into a sense of it's my fault, that I did something, or, you know, I'm not a good person and I'm being punished. So I would be really interested in how you would help a person who's taken on that genre of, you know, you are responsible for what's happened to you, and if you just rewrote your contract, you'd get well. And they try to do that, and they don't get well. And so they have this great sense of failure. So What would be your kind counsel, my friend?
Okay. Well, one of the things that I really want to distinguish here is the difference between cure and healing. Those are two totally different things. And so, you know, having a debilitating disease or a terminal disease like cancer, there is still opportunity for healing, though maybe not for a cure.
And wait, hold on, Ellen, 1 second. We're getting some interference. Caller, are you there? Caller? Well, caller, or actually, engineer, can you disconnect the caller? Thank you. Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, so as I was talking, there's two different things. One is healing and one is a cure. A cure would be the cancer goes away. The healing is the person is able to work within the realm of cancer and what kind of opportunity that's bringing. Maybe closure in the family, maybe more closeness, maybe more love. A situation, you know, not all, there are also divine plans, so not all things can we, shall we say, cure. But they are giving us opportunities for a great healing. It's not about, you know, it's my fault. Well, you know, some people, yes, they abuse their bodies. But in a lot of cases, there's other kinds of programming. And Catherine, if you listened in last time, we talked about what happens when the body has deficiencies in the grid system. So whether there's leakages or any types of rips or tears, and the body is leaking energy. When the body leaks energy, then we have a different situation. And those leakages, sometimes the body says, hey, okay, there's leakage going on. I'm going to have my cells proliferate and to fill in the areas of the leakage. So in that case, there's a whole different way of treating that. So not everything are contracts. I mean, that's just part of healing. You know, there are real, you know, physical injuries that happen, et cetera, or leakages where the body will go into overproduction of cells. And so I hope somewhat that that's answered the question.
I think you did. And thank you, caller, so much for listening and for calling in. And I'm sorry we had to disconnect you possibly before we were done speaking with you, but there was a large interference as far as Ellen and I and our ability to hear. I think that also when you're talking about somebody that has cancer or an illness and they feel like a failure, I think that on any level, whether it's emotional or physical or mental, to feel like a failure is also to be dealing with a very old programming, a very old contract that possibly started not even with your originating thought, but one imposed upon you. And I think we have a caller, so we might get back to what I just said. Do we have a caller? Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Caller, one more time. Are you there, caller? Okay. Lost the caller. But in any case, that to look at any kind of failure in regards to healing from a disease, I think that the invitation is to then look at the contract or the grid system and to look at it all the way back to infancy and what was the interaction energetically, vibrationally, emotionally, and mentally between that soul, even in the embryo, and the parent, and what was projected upon, etc. Because a lot of times people find themselves carrying either their father's karma, and so they react to life, as an example only, they react to life through the eyes and the emotion and the desire to heal through their father's eyes and not necessarily their own, and vice versa. We do as children with our mothers. So we're not always dealing with, again, our own energetics, but sometimes we're dealing with the energetics that are layered and imposed upon us. And so there's an opportunity if somebody's feeling failure, if there's anyone listening, they're feeling guilt. Guilt and failure are an extension of each other. To really look at, I invite everyone to contemplate going back to the beginning of your life, going back to the beginning of your life with somebody that can help you trace it, somebody that can, if you find that you can't access that yourself, or even to the beginning of where the failure feeling or success or failure or guilt or non-guilt feeling originated, and then going from there. Go ahead.
Cynthia, I would just like to add to that, and that's the idea of feeling like a failure when you have some type of illness. It's about programming. So at the same time, a person could be having cancer and going through a dying process, but be at peace with it. And I think that's where the true healing comes in. So if a person does feel like a failure, then that's the part that needs to be addressed and healed. You know, the cancer is almost like a separate entity because maybe there's that leakage and the body's proliferating over and over again. And we could go in, I could go in for probably an hour and just talk about what happens in the cancer state. Maybe we'll do that at some other time.
Sure,
but
sure.
It's really important to understand that all of the emotions that are coming up, there are opportunities to look at those emotions and heal them and continue with the process. I mean, we all are going to die one way or another, and it's a divine plan of, you know, there's windows of opportunities at different ages. And so, you know, the problem is not the dying process. The problem is, you know, with how much grace you go through it.
Interesting. Yes, and I agree with you that clearing the emotion, because emotions that are vibrationally a weight, a burden, and a heaviness can be transmuted and healed, even in the case of illness or something less than that, by lifting the energy of failure and off the person. Then the body internally and externally is able to access more of what is available to itself, because that burden has been lifted. There's now a lightness or a love energy present versus one that is creating a blockage.
Right, and sometimes people, you know, need help to start that process. And I think that's when you go to a healthcare practitioner or a counselor that can actually be the catalyst and be the tour guide and show them how to go, you know, through that process. Several things that I use that help with contracts or, you know, in the grid system, besides actually making a new contract, is things like tuning forks, colors, you know, sounds, geometric shapes, because we are all made up of those, and that's what the body knows. So the question is, and this is the key when you're doing your detective work, is what language does the body speak? So if, Cynthia, say you were speaking Chinese and I was speaking English and I didn't understand Chinese and you didn't understand English, it's like, then how am I going, you know, I can't communicate with you. So the question is, the practitioner has to have savvy to understand, okay, what language does this body speak? And I'm not talking about what's coming out of the person's mouth, but what language do they speak? Color language? Do they speak music? Do they speak essential oils? Do they speak acupuncture? And then you find the key, and it's like, oh, this one resonates. Okay, so this person needs some flower essences with some acupuncture. Those are the two, you know, things that resonate to open that door. That's the key that's going to open the door, or, you know, unlock the lock to open the door to go through the passageway into a fuller healing. And so and that's the role of the person who's the practitioner or the healer, to be able to understand what is that language and to help them walk through the door.
I think, too, for callers that are, or individuals that are listening, that the language, what language is your being, is your body speaking, can also be translated as what, out of all of those modalities and venues that Ellen uses and has shared, which one, and it's not a mental process, I don't believe, it's one really about you getting your mental body out of the way and allowing to yourself to see which one does your body react to, which one is it attracted to, which one is it feeling peace in. There are people out there who've never experienced acupuncture, and then they're afraid of it, or they've heard other people's stories of it. And then they go experience acupuncture, and they feel peace through to a deep dimension they've never felt before. And for the first time, they're able to breathe. Now, that's the language of their body responding and to acupuncture, and that acupuncture understands that language. Correct, Ellen?
Yes, that's very true. And I just have a little story to tell you. And this is about essential oils. And it's not to say, you know, essential oils is a cure-all, but this woman particularly, I was teaching an evening class in essential oils about 15 years ago. And it was open to my patients and their friends. And so one of my patients brought one of her friends. And, you know, it's an introductory class, and so we were smelling all the different scents. And one of the things I like to do when I teach is send around the different essential oils, and just like with numbers on the bottles. And so people don't know in the beginning what they are. And I just say, okay, just write down something about, like, number one, number two, number three, as you smell them. You know, does your body like it? Does it dislike it? Is it neutral? Et cetera. And so maybe I passed around 30 or 40 essential oils that evening. And at the end of it, I said, okay, the ones that you really liked, I'd like you to, you know, put those to the side, and we're going to do something. We made, like, our own perfume with the ones that people really liked. And I was teaching them about combining essential oils so they're balanced within the ones that they liked. About, maybe 4 or 5 days later, I got a call from a woman that I didn't know who was in the class. She was a friend of one of my patients. And she said, I have been for the last 20 years, every single type of therapy, nothing has helped my severe depression, and including, you know, the medication she was taking and counseling, et cetera. She said, from the moment I put this on, she said, I feel like a different person. And see, her body was speaking essential language, essential oil language. It's what she needed for her recovery. It was the key to unlock the lock for her. And so, you know, you never, well, most people don't know exactly what it is that their body is looking for. I mean, some people do know. But so that was just, you know, a little story. And then from that time on, she did not have the depression. It was enough to lift it, take away that signature, and kind of restart her on a different path.
So that is an amazing story. I'm so glad that you shared that. I also wanted to, for the listeners, to let them know essential oils are basically oils that are aligned to a vibration, to a, I believe, in emotion, et cetera. Ellen can fill us in, but share with the listeners as well, how are they used, where are they normally put on the body, and how much is used?
Okay.
It's just a generalization.
Okay, this is just a whole nother show, because there are essential oils that are, you know, very safe to use, that you could put on the body straight, or what we call neat. Or most of them, they'll have to be diluted, and you have to know how to use them. And maybe we'll do an essential oil evening and talk about the different uses, say, of lavender or peppermint, some of the essential oils that are really easy to use and should be in everyone's first aid kit. But that's a whole another topic.
Sure.
Maybe we could do, like, kitchen remedies or something like that. I have a whole list of things to do.
Absolutely. I wanted to share again really quickly the number if you want to have a last chance to call in and talk to this amazing, gifted, unbelievable gift on this world that we have here tonight talking with us. Don't pass up this opportunity. And that is, in the States, 530-327-7602, and toll free 888-815-9756. So as far as you're being aligned to something and or not being aligned to something, you had mentioned something about a piano story and a car story in regards to alignment. Did you want to briefly share those?
Right. Thank you very much for reminding me, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think most everyone who might be listening to this radio talk show has heard about the movie The Secret, and it's about, you know, attracting what you're putting out. And so many times people say, well, you know, I'm, you know, this is the job I want and I'm not getting it. Usually what happens, though, there's two things, is that number one, either you're not totally in alignment with it, or number two, you're not waiting for the divine time, the timing to happen. You're impatient.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if you plant a seed and in 4 days you expect it to be a plant. Well, that's not going to happen. You have
mm-hmm.
to wait for the seed to germinate. It's going to take X amount of time. It's going to need, you know, X amount of water and good soil and sun. And then at a certain time, maybe, you know, 2-3 months later, the seed is going to come into fruition and create either a vegetable or a flower or something. So divine
mm-hmm.
time is also very important to wait for the proper timing. But
mm-hmm.
Let me talk to you a little bit about my own personal manifestation story of, you know, attracting things. So two large attractions in my life. And the first story is my piano story. So here's the story. In February about, 3 years ago, I think maybe it was 4 years ago, I had the flu and I hardly ever get sick. And I was walking down my stairs to get a glass of water. I was lying in bed. I was walking downstairs. And as I was walking downstairs, and I think I had a fever, I all of a sudden, I thought I was a little girl walking down the stairs, walking into my living room. And it was real interesting. It was like, oh. And I looked in the living room, and there was no piano. And I always played piano when I was a child. And when I was sick, especially, I'd sit down and start playing, and the music tended to soothe me and to make me feel better. And I just had this memory, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't have a piano anymore. What am I going to do? And so from that point on, I decided, okay, I need a piano. I haven't had a piano in my life for 20 years. I had moved overseas. My piano was over there. I came back to the United States, and I did not have a piano, and I really missed playing. So I set out, and I started looking everywhere for a piano. And I knew that I wanted a really good-sounding piano, and I wanted one with good action and something that was going to really enthuse me to play. So I started looking here and there, and I'd see pianos in second-hand shops and in old furniture shops. Wherever I went, I kept seeing these pianos. And I had a friend who owns a piano refurbishing shop here in Portland, and I would have him come check out all these pianos, and he'd always find something wrong. And finally, I went to the PSU piano sale, and I thought, well, maybe I can get a good deal on a piano there. And all, you know, the wonderful pianos, the Steinways, et cetera, for a baby grand that was a 6-foot baby grand, it was going anywhere between $45,000 to $65,000. And my budget was more like $4,000 to $6,000. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm never going to get a piano for, you know, what I want for that amount of money. There's no way. And so finally, this man from the refurbished piano company said, well, I have a friend who owns a piano shop, and they're going to have a sale, so I'm going to have you go there and pick out a piano, and I'll come down and check it out, and, you know, I'll get a good deal for you. And I said, fine. So I went to this piano shop, and I spent 4 hours playing different pianos there and had picked out some that were in my price range, and I had this man come and check out all the pianos, and he kept saying, no, not this one because of this problem, not this one or that problem. And finally he said, well, let's go look at some of the new pianos. And there was a new piano that was, I think it was Russian or from Finland, something like that. It was a 7-foot grand, and it was going for, I think, $15,000. And he said, oh, this is a really great buy. You should just get it, you know, take out a loan, whatever. And I said, well, it's not exactly what I want. I don't like the feel of the keys. It's a new piano. It doesn't have the sound I want, but it's probably the best so far. So I said, let me sleep on it. I think I'm going to get it. Well, that night I could not sleep and really could not sleep. All night long I was tossing and turning, which telling me, no, that is not my piano. So I called the man the next morning, and I said, no, the deal's off. I'm not buying that piano. It's the wrong piano. And I hung up the phone. I was in my living room, and I said out loud to the universe, dear God, Goddess, whoever's out there, please bring me the piano that's going to enthuse my heart to play again, because I don't know where to look anymore. I don't have the funds for the piano I want, and maybe there's this really, really great piano out there that someone doesn't know its worth, and it needs a good home, and I'm willing to give it that good home. Now, that was at about 9 in the morning. At 9:30 in the morning, I get a there's a telephone call on the answering machine. I came in the room, I picked up the call, and it was someone calling for my husband. And he wanted my husband's cell phone number. So I meant to call him back. I meant to call John with his number. And instead I called this other man. And I said, oh, I called you by mistake, or I should say now by divine intervention. He also is a pianist. And I just said, you know, well, what's new? And he was asking me what was new with me. And basically, I said, I almost bought this piano. I told him the story. He's friends with the man who owns the piano refurbishing company. And he said, well, I'm brokering a piano for my church. And I said, oh, really? I said, what kind? And he said, well, it's a Steinway. And I laughed right away because I knew the prices and there was no way I could afford that. And basically, and he said, no, it's a really good deal. I said, well, what kind? He says, well, it's old. I said, well, you know, what's wrong with it? He said, well, it's a concert grand, but it's really old. It's over 100 years old. I said, well, what's wrong with it? He's like, nothing, because this man from the refurbishing company checked it out, and it's in really good shape. I said, well, no, he was with me yesterday. He said, no, he was with me yesterday. So I said, well, why didn't this man tell me? He said, because he wants to get it for himself. And I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. So I asked him, I said, well, there's no way I can afford it. He said, well, I think I can broker a good deal for you. Anyhow, 2 weeks later, I get a call from him, and he said, if you want the piano, you can have it. You have to make a bid over $19,000. Well, I put a bid in, like $1,000 over that, and I said, that was sight unseen. And I said, I need to see the piano. So I went to see the piano, and it was the best piano in the world. I broke into tears when I heard it being played as I walked into the shop. And it had been donated to a church. It had been sitting in the basement of a church for about 5 years. No one had played it. They wanted to get rid of it because they had a brand new Yamaha piano. And this was just sitting there. Well, come to be, I ended up getting the piano and getting financing for the piano. And as soon as I had it secure at my house, I wrote to Steinway to ask them about the history. And it is a beautiful piano. And they gave me the history of the piano, that it was built in 1887 by Steinway. It was one of the first concert grand 9-foot pianos. And it was built specifically for Andrew Carnegie and was delivered to his residence in New York City on January 1888. And I couldn't believe it. This was the piano that stayed in his house till 1935 with his family. And it was a few years before Carnegie Hall was open. And then I found out from an author in one of his biographies that indeed Tchaikovsky and Paderewski have played this piano. And it's an amazing, amazing piano. So
wow. That's an amazing story.
Rather than say, I need X, Y, and Z piano, it was like, bring me the piano that's going to enthuse my heart to play again. So
that's an amazing story, manifestation. I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your question?
This is Donna, and I have a question for Ellen. Actually, I've been doing a lot of work on myself this last year. About a year ago, I made some really bad choices, had some really heavy consequences that I'm working through. And this last year, I've been on the right path and working on a spiritual level. But I've got a lot of, as a result of this over a year ago, I've got a lot of negative stuff coming at me, really bad negative stuff. You know, I've been working with crystals and meditation and prayer, but it's just coming at me from all directions. It's pretty powerful, and it's impacting my job. I've lost my job over it, and, you know, I'm staying positive and staying on course, but it's really zapping my energy. So my question is, how do I, you know, keep my space clean and, you know, impenetrable from this negative stuff coming at me and stay on course, which is what I want to do?
Okay, well, one thing I want to address in that is what you're talking about, negative stuff. Energy, I always say energy is energy is energy. There's different vibrations, and some people are vibrating higher, and so a lower vibration feels maybe like what you might call negative energy. But the question is, why is it coming towards you? What are you entertaining? In other words, what is in your grid system that is attracting? So even if your mindset is like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z positive, there's still something that it resonates with you. So that has to be changed.
Right. That's what intrigued me to Paul was, well, if I'm doing this, then it made sense that it's kind of imprinted somewhere there.
Right.
It needs to be removed.
One of the things that's really important is to go back through who you are and start requesting by giving permission to release any imprinting or signatures of all kinds of people situations in your life. So I would say start with your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, and work your way up. You can go through everything from age one, everything from age two, everything from age three. And the other thing, so you can work out it that way, which is a long process, but it's also showing the universe you're serious. The other thing is to absolutely every day or several times a day clear your grid system. And there's lots of different ways that you can do that. You can do that through like a pranic healing system. You can do it with crystals. You can do it with qigong. There's many different ways, but it has to be consistent because things can get stuck in your grid. And then specifically find out if there's, you know, certain times in your life that you've experienced. You can think about this last episode of the poor choices you made. Actually go back through your timeline and see when else in your life you've made poor choices and go all the way back. Maybe it was when you were 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
So you have to go all the way back and look at it and go to the origin and clear that origin and then bring it back up through the timeline, and it usually clears up.
Okay. Ellen, unfortunately, caller, and Ellen, we've run out of time. So I'm going to invite the caller to call Ellen. You can reach her at 503. Ellen, what number do you want her to reach you at? And anyone else that would like.
Yeah, my office number at Lotus Acupuncture is 503-656-1956. Again, 503-656-1956.
And do they is there any other way of reaching you besides phone?
You could also write me. My website is Lotus Acupuncture OR like Oregon. .com or email me at lotusacupunctureor@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, caller. I'm sorry we've run out of time. And thank you so much, Ellen. As always, a pleasure and extremely enlightening and expanding and a huge awareness opportunity when speaking with you. And that's why so many people write to me and ask you back. And we already have a kitchen show and all kinds of things set up for the future. So thank you very much for being on, as always, and for everyone for tuning in. We welcome your feedback. You can go to C as in cat, YNS as in Sam, 999@gmail.com. Or 503-347-6766. So thank you for tuning in. Our next show is August 24th. Very excited. Special guest is Priscilla Hewlin. It'll be a fantastic show. And that will be on August 24th at 8 p.m. And until then, this is Cynthia Sloan. And if it resonates, make it your own.
Thank you, Cynthia. Good night.